Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers for Chicago real estate brokers. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show, and in just a few moments, we're going to have our interview with Ryan D'April, which I'm very excited about because I've always been a big fan of his and what he's built. So we're going to talk to him in just a few. However, before we get to that, first of all, I wanted to give, as per usual, a thank you to everyone currently listening. Please remember the best way you can always thank us is to tell other realtors about us. The intention of this podcast, if you're a new listener, is to get you guys access to the very top producing realtors in the Chicagoland area and find out what they do every day so that you can improve your own business by listening to their tips and tricks and strategies. So if there's anyone you think that could benefit from listening, please pass this over. Also, visit our Facebook page and like our Facebook page because you'll get updates on who we're interviewing, and you can also ask questions in advance if there's somebody that you know that we're going to be talking to. So you can find us on Facebook at Keeping It Real Pod. So just do a search for Keeping It Real Pod. Also, you can stream every episode of our podcast at our website, which is keepingitrealpod.com. You can also subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, any app you're using that is a podcast app. Just search for Keeping It Real Podcast. You will find us. And that is it for the moment. Oh, one more thing. If you have sent us requests for somebody that we should be interviewing, we've gotten now at this point well over 100 requests. And so first of all, we're so grateful enough people care to send that information in, but we are so backlogged that we just wanted to say from the whole staff here, please don't be offended if we haven't replied. We're just backed up. We have it in a file. We will get to it eventually, but thank you for thinking of us and recommending someone. So if you've written us and we haven't written you back, we will do our best to get back to you at some point, but thanks. Keep sending in your suggestions. Keep listening, and on to our interview with Ryan D'April. Hi, today on the show, we have Ryan D'April from D'April Properties. Ryan has is a progressive thought leader. He's focused on providing for his agents and his staff. His strengths are his motivational skills, coaching style, and his dedication to training. And I should mention before Ryan comes on, they have 11 offices. Ryan owns the company. They have managing brokers at each location. And Ryan actually travels consistently and constantly to each location, working with the leadership staff as well directly with the brokers, and does a lot of coaching and training. So we got him today out of his Lake Geneva office. So thank you, Ryan, for being on the show.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I was joking with Ryan earlier that was the shortest bio we've ever received, which probably speaks to the humility of Ryan. He's a very, very nice, humble guy, but has built up a pretty impressive business. Before we get into what you've built, I'd love to learn about where you came from. So can you talk a little bit about your journey and how you got into real estate?
Sure. Yes. So I've been in the real estate business for about 14 years now. And after I graduated college, I got into the executive search field. And for about 6 years, as I was in corporate America, I was buying and selling homes. And then I had three flats and an apartment building. And then I decided I should get my real estate license. And I did. And so that's how I got into it. And it was not until July or August of 2004 when I became really a full-time real estate agent. So I had my license for about 18 months and was doing it on the side. And then realized,
just to pause you for a second, did you get your license just to continue buying and selling your own stuff, or were you looking to be a sort of traditional realtor as well?
Yeah, no, I thought I was going to be a real estate investor, and I thought I was going to do what you just did, the former. I thought I was just going to buy and sell for myself. I just ended up representing a friend and then another friend, and it kind of got carried away. And so, I went into it thinking I would do this and I'd be a real estate investor and have access to the tools and technology so I could see what was going on. And then I just fell in love with the brokerage side of it and being a real estate agent for other people.
And then how long were you working as a realtor before you decided to open up your own shop?
That's a great question. It's I'll try to keep this story short, but I opened up my own shop right away. Wow. Yeah, you know, DJ, I'll tell you, I'm not kidding. I'm the only real estate agent I know that was not hired by a real estate company, because I interviewed with one.
Sure.
I interviewed with a company, and I think the quote was, you know, yeah, we like you. You make us a little nervous. You seem a little hyper. why don't you go sponsor yourself? And it was in 2003.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, so in those times you could get your broker license, you could send your paperwork in the IDFPR, and voila, you have a real estate company. And I didn't know any better. And again, you know, I joke around with a lot of my agents, cause I'm trying to empower them and understand that we all go through like these challenges and whatnot. I've been rejected over and over and over again in my life and through many things that I've tried to do. And even when I get my real estate license, you know, where a lot of people just, you know, if you fog up a mirror, they bring you in. I'm the only one that wasn't hired.
And yeah, I was going to say, and it's not like you're a complete bozo where you was like, no, he probably,
so.
No, you're clearly not. I have never heard of anyone being rejected by pretty much, you know, most firms. So that is
Ryan impressive. D'April. There you go. That's me. Buzz off. I said, okay, fine. So and that's how it happened.
Well, and what, how did you, you know, I'm sure people listening who are brokers would find that extremely confusing to think, how did you learn everything, you know, sort of on your own? How did you sort of build your knowledge base there?
Well, so I just started. So again, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of built a, you know, maybe you could say a little chip on my shoulder type of thing, because I had that mentality where I had, you know, various struggles and I was trying to kind of get in. And so I think that motivated me. And I just said, all right, I'm just going to figure this out. Again, I was working full time. I was working 50 hours a week. I was traveling. I was getting my MBA at night, and we were having our first daughter.
And oh my gosh.
So I was busy. So I just didn't really think too much. I would reach, I can't recall because we're going back 14 years now.
Sure.
But I somehow managed to get on the MLS. I think I called the Chicago Association of Realtors. I said, you know, where do I do? And they said, go here. And then I opened up an email marketing account, and I started doing, you know, direct mail, like printing out a Word document and folding it and stapling it off the envelope, and, you know, just kind of bootstrapped, you know, and I just went through and that's just how that happened.
And at what point did you decide to go full time?
So it was in July or August of 2004. So a year and a half, because it was January or so of 2003 when I got licensed. And then I find myself in July of 2004, 18 months into it. And I have a daughter, a baby now. I have three now, but I had my little girl, and my wife hadn't gone back to teaching. She was a school teacher. And I'm like, I love this. And I love the freedom. I love the flexibility. And I'm doing very well in this. And I was also, DJ, I was young and I was dumb. I was 27 or 28. And I just,
sure,
I'm quitting. This is what I could do. I could, you know, I've done it for 18 months. And looking back, if I didn't have the salary at my corporate job, we would have been able to make ends meet. So let's just go for it. And so it was in July or August 2004, I became a full-time real estate agent.
And how long after that did you decide to bring additional, you know, members to the team?
So, you know, throughout the next, say, 6 or 7 years, up until about 2011, I was, you know, I'd call a one-man shop, but I wasn't. And I'd had, would anytime would have anywhere from 8 to 10 or 11 real estate agents at the company. Maybe sure. At one point, 12 or 13, but I wasn't giving them any attention. It was just, yeah, sure.
Because you were still producing. You were still
I was producing. I was selling a lot of real estate, and I hired a, you know, an office manager, a secretary, and I had the copier and the office space in one of the buildings that I owned. But I would not have called that a real estate company. I would not have done that in hindsight, you know, whatever. But it was, you know, because I was very successful during those times, but I was really distracted by owning a brokerage at the same time as well, because I had 10 or 11 people. And though I joke around and I say, well, I didn't pay much attention to them, I'm not that kind of person. So I would, you know what I mean? But I wasn't purposeful. I didn't open it to grow a real estate company. I opened it because I didn't get hired somewhere and I needed to have a place to hang my thing. And then I'd have a, you know, people join me, and I wasn't focused on growing a brokerage. I was focused on being a real estate agent.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. And I know when I started at our firm, we only had maybe 10 brokers, our owner was still producing. I think once we got to like 25 or so, he was able to step away from producing and focus more on building the business and helping brokers. And I don't know what that number was for you, but I know that struggle of being small enough where you still have to produce and at the same time not being able to maybe give the, you know, the team as much attention. But that's all changed for you, which is amazing. You guys have hundreds of brokers now. But look, can we talk about how that's built for you? Cause I mean, you have an impressive, outside of all the franchise firms, I don't think there's anyone I can think of that has that many offices. That's an independent brokerage in Chicago, or is that, I can't think of it.
Well, I think there's a really big one that we know of out there. That's not.
Okay. Well, okay. Aside from the biggest firm in all of Chicago, who I just put in the franchise category, which of course they're not a franchise.
They're not,
aside
no.
from them, you've got to be it, right? I mean,
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to that part of it. I got to be honest with you. I don't think of it as, I'm a little bit funny. I don't know a lot of people in industry. I sure. don't know a lot of other agents in the industry. I'm kind of like Kaiser Soze when it comes to the industry of other real estate agents, because I'm just so and have been focused on the agents that we have.
Right.
That I'm not really familiar so much. I mean, I do know players out there, but no, there's other firms out there that are larger than us, and I'm more focused on, you know, I think the value that our agents can extract from the firm and what we can provide to them, and you know, what do we do every year, you know, that could add more and more value and better than we did the year before. And it's a fun journey. I mean, because 3 years ago, we were a totally different company. A year ago, we were a totally different company. And it's evolving, and it's all evolving for the agents. And we're coming up with so many different things. And, you know, it's not for everybody. Sometimes it's like, wow, this is a lot of change. And, you know, so it's one of those things that you have to understand is we're a very entrepreneurial type organization, that its core focus and priority is how do you help an agent grow their business, be purposeful and fulfilled and not get burnt out? And then what are the tools that they can use to make it easier for them? And who are the people that we can put in place so that they don't have to put people in place themselves to do the things that they want to do?
Yeah, that all sounds absolutely right for this sort of where we are in the brokerage business today. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys do? Since again, I to a degree have blinders on myself for the firm I'm at, but what you've built is pretty impressive, and having all of those offices in physical locations. There are some firms that just have like a meeting room, and so they call that an office. It's not really. You guys have actual physical offices, brick and mortar, with resources and people and staff. And
yeah, we have a managing broker and an office manager at each of those offices. So they're fully staffed, and then they're supported with a corporate staff of over 40 individuals in marketing and compliance and training and education and accounting and whatnot. So it's a very, it's an expensive proposition, I guess you could say that way. You know, we sink a lot into the company to provide, the best experience we can provide to our agents.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you're one of your core focuses at the company, aside from running it and building it and being at the top of the corporate ladder of the company, is also going down into the trenches and working specifically and directly with the brokers and traveling around all the different locations. By the way, we should mention you have locations in Indiana as well as Wisconsin. So it's not like they're all, very close by. So,
that's what I that's what I enjoy to do. And that's really what it is. I have a leadership team, and I say they run the company from the day to day basis. And, they're really the business executives. And what I am is I'm a coach. And so like right now I'm in our Lake Geneva, Wisconsin office. And my meetings today have been Google Hangouts with agents, and I've been coaching and training agents. And then this evening, I have agents coming to our Fontana, Wisconsin office, and they're actually bringing their spouses, because on a quarterly basis, I'll go to our various offices and I invite the agents to come in and bring in their spouses. And what I do is I do a coaching, and I coach the spouses and I explain to them, hey, this is our business and this is what they do. And this is how you can help them excel, because it's such a siloed business, you know, because we're all independent contractors, and that's where the danger comes and those danger zone comes. So I'm like, however you can create accountability around you, and we have something called our dashboard, and I created this dashboard, and our agents use this dashboard. And then I bring in So for example, I'll have the spouses come in and the agents, and I'll do coaching. I'll explain the dashboards, and I'll say to the agent spouses, like, look, you have this, you have this access. Let me show you questions you can ask and have conversations with if you guys are interested in it to help you, help you help your wife or your husband grow their business and stay focused on what's important for them.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the first time I've ever heard of anybody at any firm reaching out to the significant others of the brokers and saying, hey, here's how to help your significant other grow their business. And then, you know, just to even have that thought is a pretty novel thought. And it's absolutely a great idea because as you're right, it is such a siloed business. And it really, leads can come from anywhere. Most of the time, they're going to come from the existing network of that particular broker. And I know that's a huge passion of yours, is talking about how to expand that network, how to deepen the relationships in that existing network. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you, you know, discuss that when you're at your coaching and training meetings?
Sure. So I built this dashboard, and it's focused on the network. And I divide the network up from the network to influential people. And then you have these various tabs and channels of where your prospects, your active clients, your pending sales are. It's three different channels. And then you have your past transactions. And, you know, first and foremost, when people first come in and get coaching training, they hear marketing from me. And I think that is one thing that I try to get them to understand, that that's actually not what I'm pushing. There's an element of marketing that you have to have. But what the dashboard is built up is it's for relationship building.
Sure.
And, you know, people do not hire real estate companies. They don't. Right. They hire the people.
Absolutely.
Somebody that they know, they like, and they trust. They hire their friends and the family. And, you know, so we just really focus on educating our agents on, A, you're the brand, and B, it is your responsibility, your job, it's the lifeblood of your company to be focused on those relationships and be purposeful on them. So that's what we work on. That's what I'm very passionate about. And that's what when you're saying I'm going office to office, that's what I'm doing in group sessions and weekend sessions, and, or, you know, once a quarter, like do a random, bring in their spouse at night. It's all about, here is your business. Here's the platform we built. We have it on here for you. Now this is a roadmap that you could actually follow and be, be focused on building these relationships. And I even go so much to the level as, like, don't call these people and ask them for a referral.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yes. Could not agree more.
Right. And there's so many different coachings and trainings out there. And I'm not saying, you know, they're all good. You know, find what works for you.
Sure.
But mine is that I don't want to cheapen the relationship. When I call you and check in, how are you? How's the dog? How's the kid? How's your job coming along? Haven't talked to you in a while. Hope you've been doing well. And that's it. I'm going to keep it relationship based.
Right. I've always just to interject, I've always thought, like, my insurance agent, who has been my insurance agent for, I don't know, 15 years. I've never met her. There's no need for me to meet her. She's very nice.
Right.
I think I talked to her once on the phone, but every year at the holiday season in December, she sends me a, like, happy holidays card, which is fine, whatever. She sends it to 2,000 other people that are her clients. I'm, you know, not the only one. And it's fine. It's better than nothing, I guess. But I would always thought, what if it was just a random Thursday and I got a card from her that said, hey, it's just random Thursday. You've been with me 15 years. I just wanted to say, I really appreciate it. Like, a little handwritten note. And that's just a really small example. And it's not even really a super personal or deep way to communicate with me, but it would mean about 1,000 times more to me than the holiday card that, that I received from seven other people who I do business with too. And again, you know, there's a lot of different,
you know, well, there is. And I mean, and that's a great, you know, contrast to bring up, because it's the insurance business, right? And our business is going through so many changes.
Right.
And I think it's responsible of the broker, owner, the coach, whoever, to help agents stay focused and keep the blinders on, because there's a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of changes going on. But you have, like, the insurance business that you just brought up, that's a commodity.
Yeah.
And there are big private equity, big money coming into this thinking, you don't need a real estate agent. And until you become a real estate agent, or you go through the transaction, understand it is probably 90% emotional.
Sure.
and 10% logical, and to realize, no, that human element is what they need, and that's what we do. And, you know, you better be friends. You better have flow. You better know these individuals, because when they go to that, they feel vulnerable, and they're going to want to reach out. When I need life insurance, or if I need, you know, insurance for my car, my house, I want to bundle it, whatever. I've had the same one for 15 years too, right? But it's not because of the relationship I have with her.
It's just because you know her and it's easy. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. It's set up and I don't think about it.
Me too.
Versus, this is the house I lived in for 10 years and I got 3 girls and I got to be in the school district. And by the way, when things get stressful, I get crazy. So when I get crazy, I need somebody to talk me through shit, because that's what I'm going to do. And that's what happens in the real estate industry.
Yeah. I've said this example before, and I apologize for the listeners who may be hearing it slightly in a different way today, but I think it'd be interesting to get Ryan's take on this. So, I was in the technology field for many, many, many years doing marketing, and I was now 29, I think, or 30, and I was still renting, and I was relatively intelligent person. I wasn't a complete moron, but the truth is I had no idea how purchasing a home worked, and literally did not know really all that much about what a mortgage was. If you were to press me, I really couldn't talk much about it. I didn't know what down payments looked like. I just had never learned on my own, and no one had ever asked me. And ultimately I figured it out on my own. And by doing so, I realized, and I had a few friends that were realtors. If they would have come up to me and said, you know, has anyone ever talked to you and explained how a mortgage works? Like, do you have awareness of what that is and how that works? I would have been like, no, please tell me. But I was too embarrassed to ask myself. Talking about, you know, emotionally, it was like, I don't want to admit that I don't understand that. So I never went to anyone. And as a result, I bought probably a year or two later than I could have, just because I didn't know. And you would talk about like relationships is, I think a lot of times realtors need to understand that not everyone really understands how buying and selling properties work, and you get to be that knowledge source. And, anyway,
well, agents start to take for granted their knowledge and they start to forget their value that they're adding. And I think I always try to reinforce the value you're adding is your emotional intelligence, in addition to your real estate intelligence. And, you know, yes. Okay. We're in the business 7 days a week. You know, every waking hour, we're thinking, we're consumed about real estate. Well, if I have a friend who is a corporate attorney or a dentist or whatnot, they're not thinking about real estate all the time. It's the last thing on their mind. And so I think the biggest challenge in keeping some agents focused and fulfilled and moving forward is to continually reinforce that the consumer, after 20 years of the internet and, you know, 10 years of a smartphone and all the access to technology they have in a snap of a finger, they still know the value that we provide. They might not be able to write it out, but they're still coming to us. And so there's tremendous value that we provide, but you need to know it more than anybody else, because you own your own business and you're an independent contractor. So it's not like you're going to come in at 9 o'clock and you're gonna leave at 5 and you're gonna have a manager and you're gonna get reviews and you're gonna get a paycheck every 2 weeks. So it's really important to understand your value and your why and why you're doing this. And that's not like something you do like once a year. It's like something you have to do on a consistent basis in a group. And that's what we do. We do group and we do community and we do culture. We focus on our company because essentially we look at ourselves as like a gigantic consulting firm.
Right.
All these owners of businesses. And everybody says that. And I get it. You know, everybody talks like this now and they say this, but it's really true. You have to, from a brokerage standpoint, you have to truly understand that you are a consulting firm to a, you know, 100, 200, 300, 500, how many business owners out there, and provide not only a platform of marketing and technology and service, but also a platform of culture and community to keep them engaged.
Yeah, boy, I could not agree more. I am curious if you have advice, and I certainly am not asking you to give away all of your trade secrets, because if people are
There's no well, Tracy.
That's true too. But that being right? said, just being respectful of your process, what I'm curious about, because you do so much direct one-to-one and in group coaching as well, when you have a brand new broker, because we have a lot of people that listen to the show who are brand new or just got their license, recently licensed, what do you have a couple of key things that you say, look, you have to go out and do X, Y, and Z with respect to like their network?
So that's a great question. I really think I started our company in 2012. So as I told you, I became a full-time agent in August of 2004 and I was selling real estate, and it happened to be just happened chance 2010. I started coaching a handful of agents, and some were brand new to the business and some were struggling, and I coached them for 2 years and got them to where they wanted to be. And that's in 2012. I had said to my wife, I said, hey, I found my purpose. This is what I love. I was selling $30 to $40 million of real estate a year. But when a couple agents came to me and I saw over the course of 18 to 24 months, their lives changed, them changing, that just ignited me to launch and say, okay, I'm going to start a real estate company. So it was 2012 when I started it, in 2013 when I stopped selling. And it wasn't because we got so big where I stopped selling. Is my wife got licensed in 2010. And she started getting coached and trained. And it was in 2013 that she could actually start carrying me. So it was my wife, you know, but my point is this. In 2012 and 13, when I decided we want to start a real estate company, I realized that the recruiting game was going to be very hard for me. And this is a recruiting mm-hmm. business. And, you know, my agents are inundated with phone calls all day long to get recruited. And what I decided is, you know what, I think it'll take me 18 months to take somebody who's never been in the business and train them to be a top producer. Within 18 to 24 months, I could get them on
that. And that's a very aggressive timeline and an impressive commitment for you to.
Well, and so I have, and so as you're asking me that question, your question was, so that listeners can hear, what do I tell agents? I show graphs, and I have in front of me, I'm looking at four agents that were not licensed in 2015 and 2014. Mm-hmm. And by the way, year to date, $17 million closed residential real estate transactions. By the way, that's not a team, that's an individual agent. $7 million closed year to date, $8 million, another $16 million year to date, and another person at $10 million. And I show, look, they were not licensed in 2015 or 14. And look, in 2015, 14, they sold two homes.
Right.
They just sold two homes. So here's this system that we're going to show you. Here's your dashboard. The biggest thing you have to do is A, have faith. And here's a whole, you know, 300 agents, of which probably 80% came in organically to the industry through us getting them licensed and teaching them how to do it. Now we have agents coming to us, not in droves, but we have existing agents coming to us saying, look, you know, I've been doing this for 6, 7, 8 years, and I'm barely hitting the $3 or $4 million mark. And we're able to, you know, get them going in a shorter time period, 6 months, because they've got at least that foundation, that basis. But again, going back to the questions you answered, is we have all the proof in the pudding, and we have graphs and pie charts that we show people. And even after we show that to them, DJ, on their 6 month, they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? This is, I'm like, no, relax. Right. Remember,
this is normal. It's normal to struggle.
This is normal. Right. She's closed $12 million in the first 6 months so far. But remember, she did $800,000 in volume her first 10 months in the business. And she thought she was a failure too, or, you know, or struggling, and this wasn't made for her. I'm like, don't overestimate, you know, what you could do in a year and underestimate what you could do in a decade. You know, there's a plan. There's a lot of people here that care about you. There is a system we followed, and we've got so many people that have done it. Just keep the faith and watch. It will work out for you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's you're building a business, and a lot of people who, when they get their license, have never built a business before. They don't they've certainly are not, you know, told in school, hey, it's probably going to be a couple years before you're not completely freaked out about your production. And that's normal. Right. And it sucks because nobody wants to be freaked out, but every single top producer we've interviewed for the show is freaked out in their first year. And I don't mean consistently, but they're just like, oh, there's moments of frustration, because unless you have a bunch of friends lined up ready to buy and sell condos on day one, which nobody does, it's a process, and you know, so that's why I imagine you spend so much time talking about network, because you and I both know, and of course, everyone who's listening knows, the vast majority of buyers and sellers and investors as well, go, who do we know who's a realtor? Who do we know who's good? That's the vast majority of out, you know, single digit as far as consumers choose their realtor through online lead sources like Zillow, Trulia, et cetera. It's like single digit. Right. So the vast majority of everyone else goes, right, who do we know? And so.
Well, I know. And I love the statistics, you know, like 98% of all home sellers start their search on the internet. Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
Of course they do. You know, but I mean, and I don't want to, you know, poo-poo tech like that stuff and say, oh, I'm some dinosaur living in a cave. You know, I'm not, or a caveman living in a cave and my head's buried in the sand. But no, but it's just that technology should complement your business. But it's not going to replace the human interaction. It's not going to replace relationship building. And if you're going to rely so much on technology, you're going to be really finding this business, A, very expensive, because it's a very expensive lead source channel, you know, and then it's very arduous, and it's very, I remember I had this agent, he's with our firm. He's such a nice guy, but he was foreign. Okay. He grew up in Egypt, and he came over here, and he was one of the kindest guys you'll ever meet. And he said, Ryan, it was like 10 months in the business, I'm going to get out of the business. And I said, why? And he goes, people just don't like me here. I go, what are you talking about? And now this man has a family, and he has two kids, and he's raised these kids here, and they're, preteens. And I just didn't buy it. I'm like, there's no way people don't like you. You're like the nicest guy in the world. I love you. Right. I've known you for 10 months. And he goes on to explain. He says, well, a couple of the agents in this company have given me some leads. They were Zillow leads, right? And they've never called me back.
Of course they haven't called you back. They wouldn't call. They wouldn't call. Any, they don't call anybody back.
It's not you. It's these are strangers, and this is just and you know what? He's thriving to this. He's doing very well this day. And but it's like one of those things. And even though I talk about it, and I do weekend coaching sessions and evening coaching sessions and I do videos to our agents and all these other things, people forget about it. Even my agents will forget this fact 3 weeks later. So you got to repeat.
Oh, for sure. I'll tell you this quick story, because you'll get a kick out of this. So I had somebody who was interested in looking at our firm who it doesn't matter where they currently are, but there's some firm, I'm not even sure where. And they are, I'm probably going to have the numbers wrong, but let's say they're 3 months in the business, maybe 6 months. And I said, and they're struggling. And so they're sort of looking around to look at other firms to see what would might be a better fit. And I said, well, just out of curiosity, because I believe the firm that this person is at is a firm that has really good training, you know, like well-known as having good training. And this gentleman was asking me about the training we have at our firm. And I was telling them, and I said, but you're at a firm that I know has good training. Did you go through it? Yeah, I went through it. And I said, okay, well, what are you doing? Why do you feel that your current firm isn't a good fit? And he goes, well, I don't know. But I said, what are you doing to build your business? And he goes, well, I'm calling expireds and FSBOs. And I said, oh, I said, you're doing that now? And he said, yeah. And he goes, and it's really hard. And I was like, yeah, that's really hard. And I just was flabbergasted. I said, did someone at the firm tell you to do that? And he goes, no, I thought of it on my own. I was like, that's probably not a great call, because if you're calling somebody and you happen to get somebody on the phone who doesn't hang up on you, and they go, you've been in the business 3 months and you want to sell my, you know, $1 million home, like, that's a tough sell. Yeah. So I was like, you know, and it's a hard grind. And I'm not, you know, I mean, look, maybe there's some people that can pound out 200 to 300 dials a day and maybe get lucky once in a while. But oh my goodness, like I said, you just need to go out and meet people face to face every day and say, oh, I do this and I'll stay in touch and let's learn about each other. And, you know, it's not that simple, but gosh, it's a heck of a lot easier than making, calling FSBOs. Oh my God.
Well, this, you know, and so you bring up another point too, and this is something for, you know, I think the listeners to all hear. There's a point that we call it people getting into the danger zone, and they learn the fundamentals and they learn the basics. And you know what? After 18, 24 months, all of a sudden they're doing $8, $9, $10 million. And let me tell you,
that's a
hell of a living, you know, and especially when you've been in the business for 2 years. And then what they'll do is they'll get away from the fundamentals, and they have two reactions. One, I'm going to change the external, the environment around me, Or two, I'm going to ask for help and ask what I'm doing wrong. And then when they do that, you could point out, like, look, remember when you
came to all and it worked.
Remember when you came to the biweekly meetings and you came to the weekend coaching? And you don't have to come every single, but you came and look at the, and then boom, within 6 months, they're back to where they want to be. And so it's just a lesson in life for everybody. It's like, you got to look within. You got to really look within and ask, what am I doing? And what do I need to do to get me to where I want to be? And it's a big responsibility, but it's at least control. At least you have control over yourself. I don't have control over any of the external factors, but I have control over me.
And what if at the end of the day, if you look back at your business for the previous year and you say, well, gosh, 80% of the people who became clients were part of my existing network, then okay, let's deepen those relationships with my existing network. Let's continually focus on, you know, as you were saying, like looking externally, well, maybe another firm would give me leads, or maybe another firm has better training, or maybe it's going back to the fundamentals of exceed expectations, make sure you have great relationships, stay in touch with your clients, meet some new people here and there, build those, you know, you're right. Fundamentals. I mean, it's the same for me. I'm on the recruiting side. And for me, it's real simple. It's like, if I talk, I need to talk to a certain number of brokers every week and tell them about what we do, et cetera. And ultimately that will never change. That is exactly the fundamental I need to remember. Right. But you know, it's easy for me to forget that. It's not a lot of fun to always go back to, you know, dribbling the ball up and down the court. But oh, it's a good idea come game time to have all that practice and to never forget the fundamentals. I love that you're such a fundamentals guy.
I was with an agent yesterday, and this agent's been with me for about 6 years now. One of the original agents, and he's a top producing agent. He does a great amount of business. And we had a coaching session, and I hit the tab and I said, let's look at this. This is 2014. And I think he had like 26
transactions. Good year. That's a good year. Like that. Yeah.
Great year. And he's having a great year this year. Right. And I picked, you know, five randomly. I say, last time we talked to him.
Right. Yep.
When was the last time we talked to this person? And even this person looked at me, he's like, Jesus, right? I'm like, yeah, I know, man, but this is what we have to do. And all you got to do is give him a call and ask him how they've been, what's going on. You know, and just keep the relationship with them, because if you focus on your past sales, what everybody does, for all the listeners, please hear me. Everybody focuses on their prospects and they focus on the clients that they have, and they abandon their network and they abandon the people that bought from them that year, the previous year, the year before. And that, I mean, there's an easy way of doing this business. I swear to God, it's so easy. It's just be friends with all your past clients. And be purposeful and continue to keep the relationship. And then you'll see that you will attract sales. You will not chase them. It might take, it's like the tortoise and the hare. And like that agent that you were saying, calling the cancels and Fizbos, and then agents plopping down money to get on Zillow and be premier agents or whatnot. Fine. You're the hare. You're a rabbit. Wonderful. Rock and roll. I really have the tortoise approach. I'm going to show you what and you know what, if you want, if you're new in the business, keep your day job. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Follow this path for 12 to 18 months, and then don't abandon it. Because if you do it, like again, I'm looking at these two charts. I have two agents here. They have closed $17 million. $17 million pending and closed year to date. And they were not licensed 3 years ago. You know, right. And by the way, that's an agent.
Right.
That's not a team. And they're going about it the easy way. And it's all with relationships. Well,
you know, it's funny too. You're so right. I was just thinking of a real practical example for listeners. So a lot of times we're talking about staying in touch with previous clients, right? They bought a home a year ago. They're not going to buy a home or sell and buy, you know, move for 7 years. Okay. Well, what about calling them on their anniversary date? Hey, just, you know, it's been a year since you bought this home. How is it working for you? Did you have any problems? How's everything going? How's the family? How are the kids? I was just calling because I was so excited to realize it's been a year, and I just wanted to say thanks again for choosing me a year ago. Like, it can be that simple. And, or it could be, I just found you an apartment and you call the person a month after. Hey, it's been a month. How do you still like the apartment? Is everything going okay? Great. I just wanted to say, I was thinking about you. Goodbye. Like, that sort of thing is huge, and very few people do it. Of course.
Top producers do.
Yes.
Right. Right. Yep. And they're pretty consistent and diligent, and they understand the path. Sure. You know, there's some outliers. There's some outlier top producers out there. They'll probably tell you 60, 70% of their business is lead purchase business. But again, you know, if you look at their margins, it's a low margin business.
And it's a totally different approach because you're going to pound the phones. And some people, very few people, but some people are wired for that. They're like, I'm going to call this person 17 times until they hang up on me. That's not what most of us as consumers want. And
no, right. It's not why I got into this business.
Well, right. I have taken up way too much of your time and very valuable time because you're having to travel around and meet with all your brokers. Let's talk about since you have this great company, if there are people listening who are interested in learning more about what you guys offer, what is the best way they should reach out to you?
An agent could reach out to me directly. They could email me. They could reach out to any one of our managing brokers. I'm very easy. Google me. You're going to find my cell phone and, I'm very accessible. So if you have any questions, what I want people to hear is we have several different platforms. We have the ability for a brand new agent to the business. We have an ability to bring in teams. We have ability for a top producer to come in. We have so many things besides coaching and training. We have these assistant programs and marketing programs, and we're agents who are at a whole other level where they can lean on our company to actually do the marketing and that stuff for them. We have so many different platforms for them. But the thing is if you are looking for something, just give me a call and we just talk it through. You know, it's one of those businesses that we hit, like you said, you're on the recruiting side.
Sure.
And, we haven't adopted that philosophy just yet, but you know what? It's probably something we got to think about doing and looking at doing. So you see how unprepared I am for that question you just asked me?
No. But
help myself, I guess.
but here's the beauty of that answer is that you still have hundreds of agents without a recruiting focus. And every other firm has a massive recruiting focus. So I think that probably speaks to the leadership there coming from the top down. So really, what a great answer, quite honestly. I will promote Ryan, if you're interested in learning more, go to deaprilproperties.com. I'll put a link to it here in the notes. You can contact Ryan directly or any of really the team members are very easy to get in touch with and learn more about what they offer. And we're so grateful to have you on the show because, again, of how busy we know you are. So, hey, everyone, this is DJ again. And as you could probably tell, the software we use glitched right as Ryan was saying thank you. So on behalf of Ryan, he wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened. And we will see you on our next episode.